Welcome back to a new episode of Last Call Baseball, number 149. As ever, coming to you at the most random time because you know how much I love not publishing this podcast on a regular basis. On a regular weekly basis, even though now it's the season, even though the season just started, we will be coming to you every week. Let's start off on a positive note. Have you ever blocked anyone on social media? You know you have. I have. But have you ever blocked about 640,000 people all at once? Because that is exactly what the Oakland Athletics did on Twitter. Whatever the silly man Elon Musk wants you to call it, it's still called Twitter. I want you to go right now onto Twitter and type in the Athletics, Oakland Athletics. When you get to their page, try to mention them, try to post something to them. You are blocked. The Athletics have turned off the reply on Twitter because you know their boy, the owner, John Fisher, he doesn't want his feelings hurt. And so I'm sure he instructed like some fascist dictator like Joseph Stalin or Vladimir Putin to block everyone because he doesn't want to hear bad news. I promise you, this is the truth. The Athletics have blocked you and the actual 649,000 odd followers on Twitter. I have never seen that, but John Fisher can do what he wants. I mean, just because he's a bad owner doesn't mean he's not the owner. He's the owner of the Athletics, and he's going to tell his severely underpaid Oakland Athletics social media team what to do. I'm not going to rehash all the terrible things that John Fisher has done to Oakland Athletics, but you know what? After what? We're now 10 days into the regular season. The Oakland Athletics aren't even the worst team in the American League West division. I did a double take when I saw the standings. The Houston freaking Astros, who have been in the American League Championship Series for like the last 17 years in a row, are in last place. They have a worse record than the Oakland Athletics. My eyes bulged out. But back to the Athletics. They're moving to Sacramento. Cowtown. What was it that Phil Jackson, who was then the LA Lakers coach in the NBA back like 20 years ago, he called it Cowtown. No offense to anyone from Sacramento. They're moving to Sacramento, the Athletics are, and they're going to be playing at a 10,000-seat stadium, some minor league team. And John Fisher, without any remorse, with just zero shame, calls it the most intimate ballpark in Major League Baseball. A 10,000-seat stadium pretending to host a real live Major League Baseball team. 10,000 seats is not an intimate ballpark. It is a minor league team. Nay, you know who has 10,000 seats in their stadium? The college baseball teams in the SEC. LSU, Florida, and Ole Miss all play in stadiums that hold at least 10,000 fans. These are college kids. These are 19, 21, 22-year-old young men who are playing in stadiums that are bigger and nicer than what the poor Sacramento Athletics will be playing in next year. And the Athletics are going to be going from Oakland. This is their last year in Oakland. Then for the next, I think, 2 or 3 years, they're going to be playing in, no, next 2 years, they'll be playing in Sacramento, staying in the great state of California. Then they're finally going to be going to Las Vegas to play probably at another 2,000-seat stadium. I really wouldn't, but just to really stick it to John Fisher, I'd love if the Las Vegas Athletics would have to play at the UNLV College Baseball Program's stadium. When I saw that the Athletics were moving to Sacramento, I envisioned this man who has all of his worldly belongings in a knapsack, and he's just hitchhiking across the Western United States, up and down California, and then eventually heading out to Las Vegas because he's just down on his luck, and maybe things will turn around in Las Vegas when he gambles away his last $300 to his name. And John Fisher, during the announcement that the Athletics will be moving away from Oakland at the end of the year, he told the media, quote, "Being able to watch some of the greatest players in baseball, whether they be Athletics players or Aaron Judge and others, watching home runs out of the most intimate ballpark in all of MLB for the next 3 years, end quote. John Fisher couldn't be bothered. He couldn't be bothered to learn one player on his Oakland/Sacramento/Las Vegas Athletics. Not one player. He just randomly picked Aaron Judge, who's also from, I think he's from California, because the whole point was, when Judge was supposed to sign with the San Francisco Giants last year. Shameful. Shameful. John Fisher is so checked out of Oakland. He is checked out as a manager. He's checked out as a man with any pride, of any pride. This is your name that's being dragged through the mud because you allow it. This man has no shame. Like I mentioned, the Athletics aren't even the worst team right now. 10 days into the American League West Division, 3 wins, 7 losses. The Athletics aren't the worst team in their division. The Athletics aren't even close to being the worst team in all of Major League Baseball. The Miami Marlins, who also have another terrible owner, Bruce Sherman, are winless. They're 0-9. The way they're losing, that's the really bad part of the Marlins being 0-9. What else have you seen over the past 10 days? Of Major League Baseball being back. Stop me if you heard this. The Pittsburgh Pirates, the mighty Pittsburgh Pirates, are off to another hot start at 8 wins, 2 losses. At the top of the National League Central Division last year, they did it as well. In 2023, they started out, remember this? 20 wins, 8 losses. And then they just crashed to just 50 wins over like the next 128 games. But those 2 months in Pittsburgh were awesome. Everyone was saying, Pittsburgh going to take the wild card. Pittsburgh's going to go. Pittsburgh went nowhere. They finished under 500 with 76 wins. Here we go again. 10 games into the season, the Pirates have won 8. I love it. The National League Central is there for the taking. O'Neill Cruz, take us home, baby. The Marlins are playing as if they're in the American League Central Division. Going back to the Marlins, I think they're confused. And they think they're playing in the American League Central Division. Get 9 losses with a league-leading negative 32-run differential. The Marlins are basically losing every single game by over 3 runs. So a lot of these games aren't even competitive. Like the other team, their closer isn't even registering a save because these games are out of hand. And the whole what's wrong in Rocket City, the jumping to conclusions, the Pirates are going to go to the playoffs. The Dodgers are going to win 159 games. The Yankees are going to be even better because they've won 8 games and they're going to win 160 games this year. You better believe it. ESPN is just having a joygasm that the Yankees are going to win the World Series this year. Because you know the Yankees are ESPN's favorite team. And what about my favorite team, the Atlanta Braves? What about them, you say? Last week I saw one of the San Francisco Giants at the Los Angeles Dodgers games. The game where Shohei Ohtani hit his first home run of the season for the Dodgers. Towards the end of the game, they were showing Joe Kelly warming up in the Dodgers bullpen. Number 17. My eyes didn't bulge out, but I did a double take. Joe Kelly with the LA Dodgers? I thought he was with the White Sox. They traded him to the White Sox last year. And he's back? Joe Kelly, 13 years in Major League Baseball. He was with the White Sox, and he's been with the Dodgers now on 3 different occasions. And you go to his baseball reference page, he has better numbers in an LA Dodger uniform than he does any of the other teams that he's played with. And you know who else keeps coming back to their ex? Or to your ex, I don't know. Maybe you can't quit them. Jesse Chavez, another relief pitcher for the Atlanta Braves. He's been with the Braves on 5 different occasions in his 17 years in Major League Baseball. Again, baseball reference. Go to Jesse Chavez's page. He just has better numbers with the Atlanta Braves than he does with any of his other teams. I think he's been with 9 teams. I don't have it right in front of me, but I looked it up earlier. And he was also with the White Sox in spring training. They let him go. Atlanta Braves are like, welcome back home. I can't quit you. I love it. These two relief pitchers who are, some people just look better in a certain jersey. Jesse Chavez won the World Series with the Atlanta Braves in 2021. He had that amazing, I remember during the victory parade in there, that open top buses, whatever, he had this beautiful, like, maroon, it's not even a cowboy hat. I don't even know how to describe it. It was this beautiful, like, red maroon hat that he had on. It was amazing. I love seeing Joe Kelly back with the LA Dodgers and Jesse Chavez back with the Atlanta Braves. Some people just belong together. Why do you keep breaking up with your ex? You know they're for you, unless it's a toxic relationship, okay? Staying with Jesse Chavez, Atlanta Braves. You know what's really been irritating me over the past about 5 months? The Atlanta Braves are seeding the South.
Are we seceding?
Calm down, Robert E. Lee. No. The Braves are giving up the America's team, the team that was on TBS every night for 4 decades. You go to Tennessee, you go to North Carolina, you go to South Carolina, you go to parts in Florida. There are people walking around with Braves hats everywhere. What I mean by the Braves seeding the South is there is no other team in the South but the Braves. From Washington, where the Washington Nationals play, all the way down to Tampa, where the Tampa Bay Rays play, or actually St. Pete, where the Tampa Bay Rays play, only one team. You draw a line from about Cleveland all the way down to Dallas, Texas, where the Cleveland Guardians play and the Texas Rangers play. There's only one team, the Atlanta Braves. Having your product out there over 6, 8, 10 states in the United States means something. The Braves high A minor league team, the old Florida Fire Frogs, they used to play in Northport, Florida. They left Northport, I believe, around the COVID year. I think it was 2020, 2021. The Braves, now they have their high A team is in Rome. They're called the Rome Emperors. Their double A team, the Mississippi Braves, who play in Pearl, Mississippi, they announced that this year is the last year that the Mississippi Braves, a double A team, is going to play there, and they're moving to Georgia. The AAA team, the Gwinnett Stripers, already play in Georgia, in Gwinnett. And I think years ago, they used to be in Richmond, I believe it was. So I think it was somewhere in Virginia. And the low-A team for the Atlanta Braves, even though Major League Baseball no longer has that level, they used to play in Danville, which is in southwest Virginia. So not only did you have TBS broadcasting you from Georgia to Alaska to Hawaii to Florida to Massachusetts and everywhere in between, you had minor league representation in the Commonwealth of Virginia, in the state of Mississippi, in the state of Georgia. I even think back in the 90s, they had a team in North Carolina. I don't remember exactly. They had a team in minor league team in Florida. And now you're just giving up all this territory. And that bugs me. And Liberty Media, the real, even though the Atlanta Braves are now publicly owned, Liberty Media is the real owner. They haven't said anything about this. Like, they're not seeing the long-term implications of no longer having a team. You may not be able to afford or even have the time to go to Atlanta to watch a game. But if you live in Mississippi, you can go see some future Brave star in Pearl. If you live in Florida, you could have driven over and seen some future potential star in Northport, Florida. But now, that's all, this time next year, that's all gone. And that whole rumor of Nashville, Tennessee being the next Major League Baseball. No, I went to Nashville. Everyone there wears Braves hat when it comes to baseball. You didn't see anything but a Braves hat. If Nashville gets its own team, the Nashville Broken Speakers, whatever they're going to call themselves, that's going to be gone. And I certainly don't like the idea that the Chicago White Sox chief cheapo in charge, Jerry Reinsdorf, he met with Freddie O'Connell, who's the mayor of Nashville, and they were saying, oh, we're just here. This was during the owner's winter meeting in December in Nashville. Oh, you know, the cheapo in charge said, along with Mayor O'Connell, we're just talking, they're in town. Nonsense. The cheapo in charge, Reinsdorf, he knows that his lease with the White Sox with the guaranteed rate field ends in 2029. And he's looking for more money. I mean, Chief Reinsdorf, like, you're about, no joke, you're about 82 years old. You have a lot more yesterdays than you do tomorrows. Sell the team. You don't want to do anything with the White Sox, but continue to make loads of money. If the White Sox go to Nashville, it bugs me that the Liberty Media hasn't put up a fight for Braves country, Braves nation. I would go, look, if I own the Braves, I'd go all Tony Montana on Major League Baseball. Heck no. Is anyone encroaching on my territory? I built this. Do you remember when Peter Angelo, rest in peace, he just passed away, I believe, a week or two ago. He fought for years to block a team moving to Washington, D.C. Peter Angelo's, the Angelo's family, used to own the Baltimore Orioles. Why? Because he kept saying the Mid-Atlantic, outside of Philadelphia, the Mid-Atlantic in Maryland and D.C. and Virginia is my territory. I do not want another team encroaching on my territory. The Atlanta Braves got to get those Angelo's cojones like Tony Montana and say, no team in the South but us, baby. I feel like I just went to the therapist. I feel better now. Thank you. Rest in peace, Tony Montana. Rest in peace, Peter Angelo. I love baseball, but I can't stand the rainouts. You know, the Mets, they lost. They didn't lose. They had two different games rained out this past week. Enough with playing baseball in the cold weather in April and May. I don't care about you, Boston. I don't care about you, Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cubs, Minnesota Twins. If you do not put a retractable roof, you do not get home games in April and May, period. Mets, that goes to you. New York Yankees, that goes to you as well. If you don't put a retractable roof by 2030, no more home games for you. This is nonsense that it's baseball. This isn't basketball in a climate-controlled arena. This isn't hockey. You see, what are the state? I think they're called stadium series, like where they play hockey outside, even though normally they'll play hockey indoors in a dome, an arena, whatever you want to call it. But when it's really cold in New York and Canada, they'll play the games outside in about January. And everyone loves it. This is baseball. If there's a cloud in the sky, the umpire will call it for a weather delay. Let's stop monkeying around. If I was in charge of baseball, that's one of the things I would implement. No more rain delays. No more completely open area stadiums. Let's play the games. A lot of times people spend money, they're in town, and then they get rained out. And they're like, oh, well, you can use your ticket to come back the next time and don't worry about it. What if someone was in town explicitly for that game and they can only go there? They're not going to be able to go back in 2 months' time. The Chicago White Sox, cheapo in charge. Reinsdorf, perfect example. The Braves and the White Sox were playing in Chicago and that game got rained out. What was it? I think it was like last Wednesday. Got rained out, and Major League Baseball said, oh, we're rescheduling it for June 27th. Come back with your ticket. It's going to be honored. What if you don't have the money to go back to Chicago June 27th on a random Thursday to see a game? What if you don't have the money to go back to Minneapolis to see your Minnesota Twins play the Kansas City Royals? You're SOL, my friend. No more open-air stadiums. Goodbye, Boston Red Sox. Goodbye, New York Yankees. Goodbye, Chicago Cubs. If you don't do it, you will not be allowed to play home games for the first 2 months of the season. Too bad, so sad. And going back to the terrible John Fisher and his most intimate stadium in Major League Baseball, college baseball, the SEC stadiums, amazing. Last weekend, I gorged on some college baseball. I was fortunate enough to watch the University of South Florida play at University of North Carolina, Charlotte, the 49ers. The Charlotte 49ers won this game 11-8. It was a perfect, beautiful day in Charlotte at the 49ers home stadium. And it holds about, I think it was like 2,700 people. Charlotte won 11-8. It was an insane game. USF hit University of South Florida. The Bulls, they hit four home runs. There's a player, Agent Zero, number zero. His last name is Montes. He didn't hit two home runs. He hit two monstrosities of home run. Every time he hit them on back-to-back at-bats, every time he did it, I said, holy bleep. Like, I didn't even do it on purpose. I caught myself. I'm like, whoa, like, that was ridiculous. Those monster shots, they must have been well over 410, 420 feet. It was, wow. It was back and forth. Charlotte went ahead. USF came back with like eight consecutive runs. And the reality was that they had two of the relievers that USF had basically lost the game. But what a back and forth game. So much fun. There was some errors here that obviously helped both teams, but it was so entertaining. You're like, wow, okay, I get it. Like, now I'm starting to become a convert to this. I really, really enjoyed it. You can see the enthusiasm of these young kids. I don't know if that enthusiasm has always been at the college baseball level, or maybe it's influenced by the new younger generations up in Major League Baseball. And then obviously we all watch these young, exciting players in Major League Baseball and you want to emulate them, but it doesn't matter. It was there. You could feel the energy. These are good competitive games. And you know what I always say? I love baseball. I don't care if it's college baseball, international baseball at some tournament, minor league baseball, Major League Baseball. If you're playing baseball, I want to watch and I want to talk about it. Not only do the 49ers have a nice stadium, they also sell 49ers beer. They're selling beer at a college stadium. Dude, I'm there. I'm sold. Here's my $10 for the ticket. Done. The next day, fortunate enough to go up to Winston-Salem to see the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, where Michael Jordan played basketball, but he didn't play baseball there. UNC, the Tar Heels, played at the Wake Forest Demon Deacons. And if you remember, we've had a guest from the Wake Forest College Baseball Program back in episode 138 with Mark Seaver, who's the Assistant Director of Sports Performance at Wake Forest. Didn't get a chance to meet up with him. There were some timing issues, but I still went to go see the game. Again, here's $10. Show me an amazing game. It was, again, back and forth. UNC, the Tar Heels, won 14-10. And I'm telling you that the USF Bulls hit 4 home runs the day before. The Tar Heels hit not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 6 home runs in this game. Oh my God. 6 home runs. There was a man behind me. He was an older gentleman. He obviously was he was rooting for the Tar Heels. He didn't take a pitch off. In between every single pitch, he was like,
"Come on, Heels. Come on, number 44.
Come on, Luke." Like, every single pitch. I swear to you. I was like, he's an older gentleman. Where are you getting this energy from? And like, come on, let's calm down. I'm sure you love your Tar Heels. But man, it was almost too much. He wasn't being vulgar, but it was just kind of annoying. Come on, 13. Come on, 44. But at the end of the day, he was happy because, like I said, UNC came roaring back. And I think they scored like 5 or 6 runs at the top of the ninth. I forget exactly what, but the UNC won 14-10. I loved the game. The stadium was even nicer than the one in the 49ers. Not to take anything away from Charlotte's facilities, because I loved it. And on top of that, you know the weight of my heart. At Wake Forest, they sold Deacon Brew a lager. It was perfect for a nice, hot North Carolina day. I can't wait to go back to see the Demon Deacons, to see Wake Forest. I can't wait to go to any college baseball game. I'm hooked. I'm telling you, I am hooked on college baseball. I love I'm watching Major League Baseball like basically 1 or 2 games a day now when I'm able to. I'm hooked on college baseball. I can't wait to go. For $10, you get ridiculous home runs, back and forth games, and you can buy a beer. Dude, I'm sold. I'm sold. You now have an official fan of college baseball, ACC baseball, Conference USA, the AAC, SEC, and I'd love to go see LSU and Vanderbilt and Mississippi State. I'm getting almost as excited for college baseball than the drink I've been having for this episode. It's called Gustav, an Arctic cassis from, I do not speak this language, by the way, Lignell and Pilispanen in Finland. In honor of the cold weather, in honor of the earthquake in New York City a few days ago, in honor of the lack of security in the New York subway system, because you have National Guardsmen there with machine guns who are trying to stop people not paying their fares, but they don't care if people get pushed onto the rails or people get robbed. That's somebody else's problem. Here's to the lack of wins in Queens for the New York Mets, because they aren't even playing games and they can't win. By the way, if your Uncle Steve Cohen, the owner of the New York Mets, how are you feeling? No one is going to the New York Mets games. They are committing so many errors on defense. When Uncle Steve completed the purchase of the New York Mets, what, like 4 years ago, he was like, oh, and if we don't win the World Series in 5 years, this is going to be a failure. Then he realized how hard it is to run a baseball team. And he comes with good intentions, unlike Cheapo in charge, Reinsdorf, or John Fisher. Steve Cohen's an actual fan. He comes with good intentions. This is going to be a really hard year for him to swallow because he knows that this team is, I mean, at this point, again, we're only 10 games in. They're going to be lucky to win 80 games. This is not a good New York Mets team at all. Francisco Lindor is just, oof. If they're like this for another 2-3 weeks, 70 wins, man. This is going to be a bad, bad team. And I feel bad for Steve Cohen because I know that New York Mets are the rivals in the same division as the Braves, but I love seeing good baseball. And this is not what I want for a man who actually puts money and wants to invest in his team and the stadium. There's a point to all this rambling. It was the Finnish beer. The Finnish beer. This is not beer. This is cassis. It's cold as heck in Finland. I've never been. I will never go unless I win some random radio contest. They've been making this Gustav. What is this? Lignell and Pilisipanen. They've been making this for 170 years. And with this Gustav, you can make a delicious Kir Royale. Just add a tablespoon, little drop of cassis with some nice champagne, with some nice Prosecco, maybe some nice cava. You put a little fruit in it, maybe like blackcurrant, or you don't put fruit in it at all because you're so manly. And what I do is I put a very big manly ice cube in there. I drink it. It's delicious. It's perfect for cold weather because it keeps you cold. I'm joking. It's very, very delicious. I'd never had it before. Cheers to Finland, where they, believe it or not, in Finland, they actually play baseball, but it's like a cousin of baseball. It's called, I'm completely butchering this, it's called Pesapallo. It's spelled P-E-S-A with umlauts over the A, P-A-L-L-O. It's a version of baseball, and you should check it out on YouTube or maybe on Twitter. And so as I finish this manly drink with this manly ice, I think I might go look, I'm going to go watch the next Pesapallo game. And I wish you and your teams all the best because every single team is going to win the World Series this year. Everyone's going to be happy. And I'm going to be happier when I publish this every week. I promise you, we're back every week. Are we back on Tuesday night? Maybe. Are we going to be publishing on Thursdays at 6 a.m.? Maybe not. Are we going to be publishing Wednesdays at 8? I don't know. But we'll be coming back every week. And I want to thank you for listening. Last Call Baseball. Be great and get home safe.